welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Glass, and I greet you in that name which is above every name, the glorious and matchless and wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as I've been just meditating a few moments before beginning this broadcast, I was thinking of all the terrible things that you're hearing in the news today. There's such unrest, the wars, the rumors of wars, the epidemics, the famines. We're truly living in trying times. And for the natural man, certainly fear must be gripping their heart. Yet, beloved, for those of us who know the Lord, who are walking with Him, with the eyes of the Spirit, we can see that the very days in which we're living are really an exciting fulfillment of God's prophetic word, as well as the soon return of Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming again. Now, our adversary's purpose, the purpose of the devil, is to wear down the saints. And I know from the letters that are coming in, many are going through some very hard times. But thank the Lord for the blessed Holy Spirit who comforts and strengthens our hearts. And I'm just praying that UCM partners and those of you of my spiritual family who are listening to the broadcast, that you would be supernaturally empowered and fortified by the Lord to continue holding on to God's unfailing hand, regardless of what the news reports say. We are going to be a glorious people. Jesus said that the gates of hell would not prevail against His church. And so let's just take a moment to pray. And I just feel the Lord has a prophetic word He wants to share with you, according to 1 Corinthians 14 and 3. Lord, I thank You right now that in the midst of the times in which we're living, You are a great God and that You have all things under Your control. And Lord, we thank You that Your prophetic plan for the ages is being fulfilled. Lord, that every event is not an accident. It's not happenstance, but Lord, You control the nations. The nations are before You as a drop in the bucket. And so, Lord, we thank You for supernatural strength for Your people. Lord, I take authority over any spirit of fear the enemy would bring, and I thank You, Lord, that we can be bold as a lion, as Proverbs says. And Lord, we just declared that You are God, that You are not defeated, You will never be defeated, and because You live, we shall live also. And because You have gotten the victory, we have the victory. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Praise God. Hear the word of the Lord, my beloved. Have I not told you beforehand in my word that trouble and tribulation, such as man has not experienced, will be signs of the end of time? Even so, that which you see transpiring in this nation and the nations of the world are a herald of my coming, when the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of your God. Many of my people have felt nigh overwhelmed and impotent with the rise of evil and wickedness, a perverse tide washing over the shores of this nation. Knowing that prophecy must be fulfilled, some have just folded their hands and sighed and felt that little could be done, waiting with a fearful watching. But the Lion of Judah is beginning to roar. The captain of the hosts is rallying his armies. This is not a time to feel helpless, downcast, discouraged, or defeated. Because you see all these things come to pass, it's a sign to look up and lift your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. It is a time to stand your ground and occupy till I come. It's a time to put your hand to the plow, to work heartily with both hands, for the night cometh in which no man can work. In the midst of darkness and the gathering storm, my people shall be as a beacon light, a lighthouse on the shore of safety, beckoning the fearful and weary into my safe harbor of rest. Though the enemy would bring clouds of oppression against you, my beloved, be of good cheer. I shall dispel the dimness of sight and strengthen the feeble knees as you praise me. My anointing shall arise within you, and my glory shall be seen upon you. This is a time to arise, my beloved, for I am bringing my church, my body, into her finest hour. As a warrior bride, she shall go forth, dismayed by the face of no man, neither the hosts of the enemy, for I am with her, says the Lord. I'm calling you, beloved, to take new ground for your Lord. Pray and declare in the Spirit the will of your God for your life. Cry out in behalf of the lost, the multitudes in the valley of decision, and for your nation, that I might temper judgment with mercy. The kingdom of God suffereth violence, but the violent take it by force. Know this of a truth, that any and every evil work the enemy would bring against you shall be turned upon his own head, and I shall be faithful to my promise that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. In the best of times and the worst of times, my purpose is your welfare and blessing. For I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you. Even this day receive an impartation of renewed purpose and strength. As you respond in faith to what I have declared, so shall you receive the rewards of righteousness to the obedient. I shall be faithful, never to leave you nor forsake you, even unto the end of the age, says your God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for that beautiful word. Amen. Praise God. Well, beloved, the Lord has directed me these last several broadcasts to talk about something I haven't done in a while, and that is worship, the importance of worship. And there's a couple key scriptures I'd like to lay as a foundation for what God is requiring of us. And the first one is found in the book of Revelation. There's a lot of praising God in the book of Revelation. That's what they do in heaven. Not just praising God. There's plenty to do. We will never be bored. And although we don't know exactly all the things that the Lord has prepared for us, we know that in his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Hear the word of the Lord in Revelation, the 4th chapter, verses 10 and 11. The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." I'd like to share a quote from A.W. Tozer, who says, this is quite pretty strong, "I can safely say, on the authority of all that is revealed in the Word of God, that any man or woman on earth who is bored and turned off by worship is not ready for heaven." Oh, goodness, I trust that's not the case with you, beloved. Praise God. And then there's another key scripture I'd like to share with you in John, the 4th chapter, where this is the Samaritan woman at the well, and Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. A time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and truth." You know, the perhaps most outstanding feature of that verse I just shared with you is that Jesus said his worshipers must worship. They will worship. It's not an option. The true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And if Christianity is the transformation of rebels into worshipers of God, which indeed it is, then it is imperative for the Christian to know and understand what constitutes biblical worship. And worship is such a huge, tremendously comprehensive subject, but just for simplicity, perhaps, let me share with you that it's both an attitude as well as an act. So let's now take a little bit of a look at what does worship mean. Well, according to the predominant Hebrew word for worship, it means to bow oneself down, to prostrate oneself before anyone out of honor or respect. And those who use this mode of salutation fall on their knees and touch the ground with the forehead. Perhaps some of you have seen on television or pictures, that's how Muslims worship. They, you know, their forehead is literally touching the ground, although they're not worshiping the God we do. And in terms of the Greek word, that predominant Greek word for worship is proskuneo, and it's like the Hebrew in the sense that it was to designate the custom of prostrating oneself before a person and kissing his feet or the hem of his garment, the ground, to do reverence, to welcome respectfully. The Persians did this in the presence of their deified king, and the Greeks before a divinity. And then our English word, worship, is derived from the Old English Saxon word worship. It's W-E-O-R-T-H-S-C-I-P-E. And basically that means worthship or worthiness, that our God is a worthy God. And this describes actions motivated by an attitude that not only reveres but honors or admires the worth of a person or an object. It can mean to look at or upon with an elevated feeling of pleasure, to honor with extravagant love or extreme submission. Well, the time has just flown by, and I'm seeing I must bring this broadcast to a close. I do thank you for joining me, and we'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast. I hope you can join me at the same time. Until then, I'd like to give you an invitation to write, share your prayer needs. The announcer will give our contact information. I love you. Thank you for joining me, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.
Oh, behold.